Three friends are in a big city visiting for the weekend, and they're staying on the 90th floor of a high-rise hotel. They return after a night out, only to discover that there has been a power failure. So they can't use the lift, is that what you call it here, or the elevator? Lift. The lift, okay. All right, well, it doesn't really matter. It wasn't working anyway. So they have no choice but to walk up the 90 flights of stairs. And they decide that to help pass the time, they'll take turns to keep each other amused and distracted from the hard climb. And so they decide that each one will tell stories. The first one for the first 30 floors will tell funny stories, and then the next one scary stories, and finally the last 30 levels, some sad stories. So they set off, and the funny stories help to keep their spirits up, and they keep going, and then the scary stories help to get the adrenaline pumping, and that also keeps them moving. And finally comes the turn of the third person to tell his sad stories. But he says, well, I can't think of any sad stories. But they say, think hard, there must be something you can tell us, but nothing. This isn't fair, they said. We've done our part, now come on. You must tell us. Still nothing. And just as they're approaching the 90th floor, he says, actually, I've just thought of a very sad story. We left our keys at the reception desk. A sad story indeed, but how much sadder if we get to the end of our lives and discover that we've forgotten the key or missed out on the key to life. But what is the key to life? What are most people looking for? Well, like with most things, I consulted Google, and Google tells me the one thing apparently that most people, more than any others, are looking for. Any idea what it might be? Happiness. Happiness seems to be, well, according to Google anyway, the one thing, the main thing people are looking for. But the problem with happiness is that it depends to a large extent, doesn't it, on external factors. The weather, one's health, one's job security, the absence of war, natural disasters. In a word, happiness depends a lot on what happens to us, and I'm not sure if there's any link between those words, but that's the truth, isn't it? That happiness depends largely on external factors and circumstances. And we really need something that comes from within us and isn't dependent on those external factors. And so when Jesus asked the two disciples a question, what are you looking for? What do you want? They replied, teacher, where are you staying? But I don't think that's really what they were asking, was it? Here is a man who's just been described by John the Baptist, whom they have been following, described by John as the Lamb of God, which would have great significance for them as Jewish men. They want to know more about this special person. And Jesus says, come and see. I think Jesus is saying, in effect, come with me and discover a life of fulfillment and meaning. And we see it very clearly when Jesus meets Simon and says to him, you are Simon, but you will be called Peter, meaning, of course, a rock. And Jesus sees beyond Simon's rough exterior. He sees the person that he can become by following Jesus. It's like a story told about Michelangelo, the great painter and sculptor. Apparently, he was busy working one day on a large block of marble, and somebody coming by said, Michelangelo, what are you doing? He said, I'm releasing the angel trapped inside this block of marble. other people wouldn't have been able to see it, but he was able, with that skilled eye, to see the potential. And Jesus, a bit like a skilled craftsman, sees the potential that lies inside each of us. And he enables us to realize that potential. Isn't that, in the end, what we're really looking for? To become all that we can be, to become all that we have been created to be. Perhaps you're familiar with the psychologist Abraham Maslow and what he called the hierarchy of needs. The needs of humans starting at the bottom with the most basic human needs of food and clothing and shelter, and then moving up the next level of needs of safety and security, and then needs of love and belonging. And at the very top of this pyramid or this triangle, he has what he calls self-actualization. In other words, becoming all that we are capable of becoming, all that we were created to be. And how better to discover that than to consult the one who created us, the one who made us? It makes sense, doesn't it? He's the one who made us, who knows how we work, who knows what we can be. We read in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Or as the Good News Bible puts it, seek your happiness in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire. And that verse is saying, isn't it, that we find fulfillment of our deepest desires, which we may not even be aware of, but which are deep down, and we discover the fulfillment of those desires when we look to the Lord. When we delight ourselves in the Lord and the things of the Lord, in God's Word, and as the psalmist says, and how some of you might have read in the reading through the Bible this year in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, a lamp which guides us. It doesn't shine way down the road, but it's a lamp that just shows us the next step that we need to take. And so as we live in close contact with God, we may not see the distant picture, but as we walk with him, in close contact with him day by day, we can be led along that path which will bring us the meaning and fulfillment that we desire and which God desires for us. Another verse that comes to mind is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Or as the Good News Bible puts it, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and what he requires of you, and all these other things will be given to you as well. And the other things that Jesus has been talking about in the passage up till then are the human material things of food and clothing and the things that many people seek after as priorities. And so Jesus is saying, instead of seeking fulfillment in those physical, those material things, rather begin with God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and what he requires. And the kingdom of God is the rule of God, isn't it? It's the places where God is recognized and reigns as king in the world around us and within our own lives. And to the extent that we recognize God's kingship and rule in our lives, to that extent we will be the people that he's made us to be. To that extent we will be fulfilling the purpose for which God has created us. In the verse that many children learn singing that song, I will make you fishers of men. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men and women. Follow me and I will make you. And so as we follow him day by day, as we seek to walk step by step, he will make us to be the people that he has created to be. I receive a daily extract from the writings of Fred Buechner, and this one came yesterday. He says, Israel did not want to be a holy nation. Israel wanted to be a nation like the other nations, a nation like Egypt, like Syria. She wanted clout. She wanted security. She wanted a place in the sun. It was her own way she wanted, not God's way. And when the prophets spoke about it, she got rid of the prophets. And when God's demands seemed too onerous, she took up with all the other gods who still get our votes and our money. Because they are gods who couldn't care less whether we are holy or not and promise absolutely everything we want and absolutely nothing that we need. What do you want? What are you looking for? Let's not get up there one day and discover that we forgot key. Amen.